Welcome to our podcast, Danielle. You're a registered dietitian and a volunteer at the garden. So today you're going to talk to us about rhubarb.
I am. Thank you for having me here today.
Yes, we'd love to hear a little bit more about some interesting information about the nutrition of rhubarb and how we can use it.
Absolutely. So rhubarb is an early spring crop, and it's a very tart veggie that's often baked into sweets. You might think of rhubarb compote, rhubarb crisps, and I do have a cobbler recipe to share with you today. Rhubarb has a very high fiber content and provides vitamin K, which is often thought of as the clotting nutrient. It's essential for blood clotting, but it also plays a very important role in bone strength as well. The stalks of rhubarb are the edible portion, and from a nutritional perspective, the leaves contain oxalate, very high concentrations of oxalate, which is why we don't encourage consuming those. But I think you had some tips on composting.
You can put the leaves into the composter. The oxalate will just decompose, so it's not a problem.
So a problem for us and our kidneys, especially anybody who suffers from kidney stones, would not want to be consuming anything high in oxalates.
I thought it also made your mouth go astringent.
That is one of the signs of a food being high in oxalic acid, is that sort of fuzzy teeth effect that you can get from certain foods. Many people will say things like tea and persimmons will cause them to have that fuzzy teeth. So they do have oxalic acid, just not as high as the leaves.
Oh, I thought in tea it was the tannic acid.
There is tannic acid that can cause that too, but there's also oxalic acid in teas.
Well,
that's learning. So interesting.
Yeah.
This is why we have a registered dietitian helping us with this. So rhubarb, it's good fiber, it's got vitamin K, but I guess it's something that people don't often think of eating as a fresh thing. We tend to cook it. Can we eat it fresh, or would we need to cook it to eat it?
I think you can eat it fresh, but because it's so bitter, I have a lot of clients who will tell me that they have memories of dipping it into sugar directly out of their grandma's garden to enhance the taste and have it be not quite so bitter. So generally speaking, I think people do tend to cook it, slice it and freeze it perhaps for cooking later. And you'll very often see rhubarb combined with strawberry, which is also a crop that is present in the spring.
Yeah, that's great. And in the garden, we do grow rhubarb. And in May, we can start picking the rhubarb and having rhubarb to send to the food cupboard. And it looks pretty. It's a beautiful pink color. We remove the leaves before we send it to the food cupboard, obviously, so that no one's going to be eating that. And I think your fruit cobbler sounds like an excellent recipe to use for a rhubarb for.
Yeah, so I've got a recipe from Canadian Dairy Farmers that incorporates rhubarb and strawberries, some lemon juice and sugar into the cobbler base. And it is topped with a combination of flour, baking powder, brown sugar, rolled oats, walnuts if you enjoy those, optional if you don't, cinnamon, milk, and Canadian butter.
That sounds delicious. And I will put a link to that in the episode notes.
I use rhubarb as a souring agent in Asian cooking or in soups. So the way you would use sumac or lemon, because I don't have a sweet tooth, so I use it in soups.
Yeah, you could absolutely do that as well. Rhubarb also has a bit of a thickening agent too, so it can work, you know, in making sort of stickier but not necessarily sweet sauces for stir fries, and you know, in many Asian cuisines, that would be a benefit as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's something that's a little bit undervalued and maybe not used as much as it used to be, but it is a delicious vegetable that can be used in a dessert or apparently in soups too. So that's great.
Thinking about the gardening aspects of rhubarb, we pull the rhubarb stalks from the plant. We don't cut them. And we keep the soil off the crown. But other than that, they're pretty easy to grow.
Yeah, I think they're very easy to grow. And they're perennial, basically. So it's nice because it's not something that you're having to replant every year. Once you've put your rhubarb in, then you're going to go back and get a crop every spring, which is really nice because sometimes it's so much effort putting crops into the ground. Having a perennial crop is really nice.
Especially in early spring.
Especially in early spring when not much is coming up.
The food bank was very excited when they received their rhubarb this morning. They got 2.5 kilos and they were very excited. Syrians take the rhubarb using it as a savory.
Excellent. Very interesting.
But of course, we love the rhubarb cobbler.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much, Danielle. And thank you for listening to Gardens for Everybody.
Thank you, Danielle.
You're quite welcome.